Second hour of Upstate Outdoors is on tap. That's right. I'm just about to catch my breath and then got to run back and do some more crappy madness up the street. But if you missed the first hour, we jumped into the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about garlic chicken for catfish bait.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than stink bait.
Which bait girl said?
Bait girl. I have been called bait girl before. Hey, bait girl.
But then had a great interview with our Senator Tom Corbin. What do you say? He was from District 5?
Yeah. Northern Greenville, Northern Spartanburg. Super nice guy.
But we were talking about the bill, and kind of feel better about that just for the fact that Tom said it's probably going to sit and die and not even be heard in committee. So that's where that, as far as I'm concerned, that's where that needs to be. And glad to hear that we got a new director with DNR. And also we got, what do you say, about 1,200 acres coming?
Yeah, over at Tall Pines
WMA.
Yeah.
So it's always good to talk to your elected officials, especially somebody that says, hey, look, here's my cell phone number. If you got an issue, call me.
And he is an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
So it's good that we got one in Columbia.
That's right. Hopefully we can still talk to him. We didn't tell him we're moving out of his district.
We didn't?
No,
we didn't. That's
don't
okay.
Tell
we'll still talk to him.
All right. And then during this hour on Upstate Outdoors, after the Roadkill Cafe, of course, we're going to give you some tips on how to catch fish in muddy water, because that's all you're going to have for the next, looks
week
like the
or
rest
two.
Of the spring.
Yeah.
And then got our buddy Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain, lined up. He's in Palatka, Florida, for the kickoff of the Bassmaster Elite Tour. And so we'll talk to Chris and then wrap up today's show with our calendar of events and the parting shot about a North Carolina boy who was lost in the woods.
And made a friend.
That's right. But right now, it's time to head to the kitchen.
So this week, by request, the husband asked for spotted bass tacos.
That's right.
So that's what we're doing today. So this is actually a really cool homemade recipe with your homemade sauce and everything that goes with it. So you're going to need 1 pound of fish fillets. I picked spotted bass because that's what the hubby wanted, but you can use your crappie. You could probably even use your catfish.
Yeah.
Or something that you've caught out of the salt water.
Brim or whatever.
Because tacos are cool, because even if you've got little pieces, if you've decided to clean something small.
I like white perch for fish tacos. Matter of fact, I'll hand one of
those. Here, hold on to this taco fish.
It's a taco fish.
So 1 pound salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons of oil, vegetable or canola, 1 small lime juiced, 1 clove of garlic minced, 1.5 teaspoons of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 8 white corn tortillas. For the sauce, this is the sauce that goes on the tacos. You're going to need 1/2 cup of sour cream, 1/3 cup of mayonnaise, 1 small lime juiced, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and a little bit of sriracha or hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Frank's. You could probably throw a dash of Frank's in there just to give it a little bit of heat. And then, of course, you got your taco toppings. Pico de gallo, queso. They recommend shredded cabbage. And, of course, you got to have tons and tons of cilantro, because neither one of us think that it tastes like soap like other people do. We love cilantro.
Cilantro tastes like soap?
I've heard that other people say that
I know ginger tastes like soap.
Oh, I like ginger too, but don't put that on tacos. Sliced avocado we also use, and then lime. It says you can add red onion, chopped red onion as your topping, but
Bug girl don't like no onion.
I'm not going to add onion, raw red onions to the top of my tacos, but hey, if y'all want to, go for it.
Yep.
So you season the fish with a little salt and pepper on both sides. And then in a mixing bowl, you whisk together the oil, the lime juice, garlic, chili powder, cumin, paprika, and cayenne. This is going to be your marinade. So you can add the fish to a Ziploc bag, and then you pour the marinade over that and seal it back up. And you can let it marinate about 20 to 30 minutes. You don't want to marinate it overnight or for too long, because the lime juice will actually wind up cooking the fish.
It's that chemical reaction
right.
We're talking about.
So you got a pretty short marinade time. 20 to 30 minutes is about right. So preheat the grill, medium-high heat. Brush your grill grates with oil. I wouldn't try to grill most fish on the direct grates. A fish pan on the grill, or like what we have that's designed for cooking fish on the grill, is really what you need. Just because a lot of fish, when you go to flip it, is going to kind of fall through the grates on the grill.
Yep.
So you're going to grill them about 3 to 4 minutes each side. Make sure they're done, but don't overdo it. Only flip your fish one time, because they're going to fall apart if you try to flip them over and over like a burger.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you're done on one side, flip it over, make sure you're done on the other side. Throw the corn tortillas on the grill and warm for about 15 seconds on each side. And then you transfer the fish to a plate and you allow it to rest for just a few minutes. And then if it's not broke up, getting it off the grill, you can kind of chunk it into pieces. Serve on the warm tortillas, throw your cabbage, your taco toppings on it. And then the homemade sauce that you made before, you can drizzle that on there too. And it's only got 327 calories a serving.
There you go.
So it's healthy. Want a healthy recipe again this week.
And it is great for a side dish. You can use black beans.
Rice.
That's going to bump up your calorie
content.
Or you can use coleslaw. We've been doing a lot of coleslaw.
Since we can do that actually on this recipe, because cabbage is one of the toppings.
Yeah.
And we can just leave the cabbage to the side and do the coleslaw instead.
Yeah.
And throw on the cilantro and the avocado and everything on the tacos.
And, of course, I'm going to vary that, too. You know how I'm going to vary that?
How you going to vary that?
I'm not using corn tortillas. Boat girl loves her some corn tortillas.
I love corn tortillas. I wish I could get them to stay together without falling apart. Mm. And if anybody out there knows how to use corn tortillas and not, so they don't fall apart.
And she goes and
gets. Y'all email us or Facebook.
She goes and gets the authentic corn tortillas from wherever.
Yeah.
And they still break up. I use the flour tortillas.
Yes. I don't like the flour ones. I like the corn ones. If I'm going to have a taco, I want it to taste like an authentic taco.
Yeah.
Instead of Taco Bell.
That's not authentic that's not authentic tacos?
I don't think so. Right. I don't. Not that I can recall it is.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other variation, and I'd like doing it on the grill, but I tell you a secret. I'm going to be back on the George Foreman grill platform here, but you can cook them things on the George Foreman grill,
too.
And it cooks quick.
We did have them on the George Foreman, another great alternative. There is nothing like cooking on a hot iron skillet.
Yep.
A hot iron skillet.
Pan sear.
Wonderful for pan sear. It doesn't take much oil, just enough to where it doesn't stick, and crank it up.
All right. Well, we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about catching fish in muddy waters.
Y'all stay with us right here on 106.3 WORD.
Your outdoor tacos. With this past week's copious amount of rainfall.
Yes.
You know, they even had, I'd heard there was some dude was whitewater kayaking in a reedy river downtown. We had so much water running off.
I heard that. It was pretty intense.
But anyway, because of all that, you can expect to be fishing in muddy water, rising muddy water conditions for the next, I don't know.
I would
just
say
depends on.
It's
going to
take a while. It is, because all the rivers were high, and it takes a while for everything to kind of run downstream. And it is going straight to the lakes, y'all.
Yep, it is. But found this on Outdoor Life. It's back from last summer, written by David A. Brown, who actually I think is one of the – I don't know him, but I've seen his work in other stuff. I think he actually writes with a couple of – one of the other publications I write for, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like we get together to hang out or anything. But
all y'all
anyway,
smart outdoor writers.
Anyway, he's a good writer, and he talks about how to catch, and this is bass, but the tactics pretty much work for any fish, fishing in muddy water, spring rain, snow melt, anything. Anytime you got a body of water that is fed by a big river and there's a big rain, you're going to get a lot of muddy water. So you can expect that. One of the things that he puts in his article is you need to understand how water clarity impacts fishing. Now, what would be the first thing you'd think?
Well, fish can't see your bait.
And so they can't spot your bait, and decreased visibility. Also, I mean, you know, and not a lot of guys do sight fishing here except for during the spawn, you know, but there won't be any sight fishing.
No.
So you got to kind of make up for that. I mean, you know, with today's sonar, it's like, who cares? You know, I can just turn the sonar on and I can see.
And just go look for them.
I can see them anyway. But if you're looking for places to go do that with your sonar, one of the first places you need to focus on is ambush points.
Yes.
Now, Boat Girl, what's an ambush point?
I would say probably.
What's your favorite ambush point?
A ledge.
A ledge?
Mm-hmm.
Where they can get on the lower side of the ledge.
They can get on the lower side of the ledge, yes.
Yep. And also, I mean, you know, a stump or. My favorite ambush point is a long point.
Long. Well, yeah, you know, I could see that too.
Where you just, you know, where they're kind of hanging out and waiting. The water changes depth pretty rapidly, and they run up and down it.
Right.
Sort of like a ledge. But let's see, we're talking about vegetation. So if you can look for areas of that's got a lot of grass in it, that might also be a good ambush point.
Okay.
Now, the next thing he talks about is how to choose the right lure for poor water clarity. You know, obviously you want to get something that the fish are going to be able to locate. So what would be your number one pick in that?
Black.
As far as color?
Yeah.
Okay. Black. You like black in muddy water?
Black in muddy water. Now, if you're on a mud line, like transitional, you know, if you've got...
Which is kind of a floating ambush point in and of itself.
Which is a floating ambush point in itself, I would go white or light.
Yeah.
But in the kind of mud that we got right now and the kind of stained water, I would say black.
You want to use a black. I like bright, and I'm not talking about bright colors. I'm talking about neon colors. A neon chartreuse, a neon green,
mm-hmm.
Love orange. I love a neon orange in muddy water.
Okay.
So, and that's just what I've had success with.
I can see the orange for sure.
The other suggestion is switch to bigger lures. A large profile bait makes a significant visual clue, while it also displaces more water and gives off, you know, fish sense a lot of stuff using their lateral line, so they're going to be able to sense a larger bait.
Yes. Well, and there's also the harmonics in the water from a larger profile bait. And I know they talk about using a jig. I agree with that.
Yep. If you're using a jig, you want to upsize the trailer that's on the jig.
A big pig on the jig.
Yep. A big, if you're fishing with a worm on a Texas rig or Carolina rig. Do people still Carolina rig?
Oh, yeah.
You want to use a bigger worm? I'd rather be beat with a stick, but that's another story altogether. And if you're top water fishing, you want to use a bigger top water plug.
Yes.
The other suggestion, is to use louder baits.
Yes.
Now, by louder bait, that could be anything, a crankbait or anything that's got rattles on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, I would think of a spinnerbait, although I think that's actually the next thing, but a louder bait, something that's got internal rattles in it.
Right. I agree.
That gives them an audible beacon to follow. Also, if you bump that bait into stumps or rocks, like with a square bill or something, that's going to make a little bit more noise.
One of the most, and I know you don't like to fish crankbaits in the dirt.
Yeah.
But in muddy water, you can bounce a crankbait like a deep diver off a hard bottom. Man, effective.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, bouncing a deep diver off a hard clay bottom. I think they hear it. I think it's large enough for
and they can
to feel it.
They can feel that vibration.
Yeah.
Speaking of vibration, choose a bait with vibration. He mentions a lipless crankbait as being a vibration. That, to me, would be – and I know yeah. They do make a lot of vibration because of the rattles, but I'm
right.
When I hear vibration, I'm thinking of something like a chatterbait
yes.
or a conventional spinnerbait that's going to produce a lot of thump.
And a lot of racket.
And maybe even some flash. I don't know how much, you know, if it's murky water, then I won't flash, but it's more that vibration than it is.
I'm with you there.
The next suggestion is brighten up your lure color choices. Now, we talked about that a little bit earlier. You know, a lot of these bass guys will have this stuff that they can dip, you know, and he suggests dipping your baits in a chartreuse or orange dye to enhance the contrast.
Right.
Now, that would be interesting. I don't know if...
JJ's Magic.
Yeah?
Like chartreuse dye.
Okay. What if you use that? And I do like black and chartreuse because that is a great contrast. For whatever I'm fishing for. You got a bright chartreuse and then a black, and they can see that a lot better. And then he kind of wraps up the article talking about the best baits. Big flashy spinner bait would be number one. A crank bait would be number two. Shallow divers, particularly a square bill that, like Boat Girl said, you can bump on the bottom. A bladed swim jig. What is that? Bladed swim, they're talking about the Yamamoto and the Hearttail Worm or a Gambler Big EZ.
That Big EZ is a boss.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And then jigs. I wouldn't think of jigs, I guess, as being so much of a...
If you had a big enough profile on the jig, like what we were talking about, like putting a big trailer on it.
Yeah.
Dark jig, big trailer. I would think it'd be effective.
Well, and then you're talking about soft plastics being next. And I guess that's partially, you know, getting down there where they're at and throwing that soft plastic in.
Yeah, I agree with most of this on here.
I hate it because they didn't get to what my suggestion would be.
Just troll live bait with eight rods out.
No, tip it with live bait. Okay, there you go. Solves all your problems. And then it don't have to all be about tournament fishing, right?
Well, it's not. You want to be effective if you're going out there in the muddy water that we're going to have for the next 3 weeks, all probably.
Right. Well, we got Chris Wells on tap. We'll ask him.
We're
going
to talk about some more bass
fishing.
We'll
ask him if any of those guys are tipping their baits with live bait fishing down there in Florida.
I would doubt it.
Yeah. All right. Well, stay with us.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, well, you can tell that it is the kickoff of the professional bass season because we've got the bass chaplain, Chris Wells, on the phone with us.
The one and only.
The one and only, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, we're drying out from this past week and just trying to make things go running back and forth to Cabela's today.
Yeah, I've heard that was quite a deluge that we had in South Carolina.
Yes.
I was down in Florida, but I heard it was pretty bad.
Yeah, and actually bad enough that they postponed the Bass Elite Tournament for a day or so.
Yeah, they sure did. You know, I got down here on Tuesday, and then I got set up and did the focus meeting, and it's really cool because we gave every Elite Series angler a Bible this year and with their name on it. And they were surprising. It was really wild. It was. I was kind of, you know, a little apprehensive about how that would go, but it went really well. Everybody loved their Bible. But, yeah, I was set to go out with Brandon Card on the first day, and they just had to postpone it. It was just pretty bad out there.
Was that due to the high winds?
It was real high winds and 40-mile-an-hour gusts coming in later in the day, and so they decided to call it. So
gotcha.
It was a pretty tough call.
Well, are you still going to do Iron Man Bass Chaplaining in this year and do the Bass Elite and the Bass Pro Tour?
Yes, I am going to do both of them. This week, I'm not going to the Major League Fishing. Mark Rose is covering my end on it doing Fishing Church, but I'll be there for the next one. And it's kind of tough because they kind of go head-to-head. And I have to go back and forth in between doing sportsman's banquets. And I've got a sportsman's banquet tonight, actually, in Creedmoor, North Carolina. And so I'll be there. But I'll be headed to the next Bassmaster tournament. And then I'll be headed to the next MLF tournament. And so
you are a busy guy.
It really is crazy. There are months and months where I don't do anything. And then there are months where I just put miles on my truck, and that's what I'm doing right now, putting miles on my truck.
And, Chris, I'm going to ask you, do you remember back when you were at Brushy Creek Baptist and you were thinking about stepping out and taking on this ministry full-time, and you were praying and praying, will there be enough for me to do?
Right. I tell you, it's blown me away. I never thought it would be where it is, and it's just amazing. I just thank God for that. Thank all the people that support our ministry, and it's been a wonderful deal. It really has.
Well, what's the as far as the fishery down? You're in Platka, Florida, with the Bass Elites. Where are they fishing?
Well, here's the thing. Platka has had some phenomenon going on in the last few years, and that's the disappearance of the grass.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just had a lot of grass gone, and before that was just a major pattern. And so now these guys are having to adjust, and the spinner bait is really coming into play. We had the big cold front come in, and these guys are throwing fast moving baits, and it just hasn't been as good a bite as we've normally seen in past years. But it's still a great fishery down here, and I tell you this honestly, I tell people this all the time, I would move to Palatka, Florida, in a heartbeat. I really would. I love this town. I love the people of this town, and it's just kind of classic old Florida, and it's really a neat deal. No commercialization here. It's just classic old-time Florida, and it's a great place.
It's really a very cool place.
The thing about
Florida fishing is it can change overnight, and it makes for
great
tournament
water.
Fishing because, when you get a front – and you get, you can get especially this time of year, you can get a little bit of a cold front, and that water temperature drops, 7, 8, 9 degrees overnight, and it's a whole different ball game from the day before. And it makes for a really interesting tournament.
It really is. And what's happening is, the water temperature dropped down a little bit, but it's kind of getting warmer now, and things are going to start heating up. And I really believe that they'll start catching them. And it's going to be really good. There's so many fish in this place, and it's such a great fishery and such a great place to visit. I love coming down here. Of course, in a couple of weeks, the frog is going to be really good down here. That's my favorite bait to fish. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a one-dimensional fisherman. 99, out of 100 times, I'm fishing a frog. And so I love it down here.
Well, everybody loves a frog bite, myself included.
Oh, it's awesome.
And really. Florida's a place to get that. for sure.
I love down here. I really would. I love to move down to Palatka.
Well,
I'm trying my wife.
There's a few places. If none of our listeners have ever fished Florida, it's worth a trip to explore and fish some of the off the beaten paths. Besides, I'm gonna go to Okeechobee and I'm gonna fish, or the off the beaten path lakes in Florida. The towns are cool. The people are cool. The fishing's awesome. So what you're saying about Palatka is definitely true.
Right. And, what's really cool is you're exactly right. The off-the-beaten places are just awesome. There are canals in Florida that you can go and throw a frog all day and catch the snakeheads. I know the snakeheads are invasive species.
Yes.
But they hit a frog tremendously. And from what I understand, they taste good. And so you can catch those snakehead and
just don't throw them back.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You can't transport a snakehead. You either have to kill that fish or let it go immediately. But, there's such a diversity of fishing here. You can go to Florida and catch peacock bass, largemouth, snakehead. You can do all kinds of things. And I really love it here. I really have a passion for Florida fishing.
Is the entire tournament on the St. John's River, Chris, or are there other other little you were talking about canals and stuff? And it's kind of hard to define what the river is. But what do they establish for the boundaries for this tournament?
Yeah, they can go pretty much anywhere they can run. George's Lake down there, there's Crescent Lake up here. You hear the St. John's River and you think you're just fishing a river system. There is some of that, but there are also some lakes that open up that they can get into and they can lock into. And so it's a wide variance of places to fish, no shortage of places for these guys to run to. But inevitably, what always happens and what's happening in this tournament, too, is a lot of guys gang up in the same places. They all find the same fish. These guys are the best in the world. and they all find the same fish. And that's true in every single tournament. And you would think they've got this tremendous fishery. They can all spread out and get away from each other, and they all inevitably find the same fish.
Well, what has been the reaction from the rest of the field with G-Man and Brandon Polinick coming back into the Bass Elite Tour?
Hey, you know, that was a good question. Everybody was pretty much ecstatic when they got there. I remember Polinick came in and actually came up and got his Bible, and so that was pretty cool. And we gave G-Man his Bible, and man, everybody's excited to death. There's always an electricity when Gerald Swindle walks into the room anyway, because he just owns a room, and everybody loves Gerald, and he's just hilarious to be around. And Polinick, you know, of course, is one of the upcoming stars, and they would have pretty much killed the fatted calf last year to get Polinick, you know, to stay on the tour, but he's back, and look for big things from those guys this year, really do.
Awesome. Well, Chris, you'd mentioned doing some touring and speaking engagements and stuff like that. And before we run out of time, if folks have got an engagement, maybe they want to keep you a little bit closer to home here in the Upstate, what's the best way for them to reach out and get hold of you?
You know what? You can go to chriswells.org, or if you can't remember that, just type in Google, The Bass Chaplain, and I'll be the first one that comes up, and we'll be happy to come to your church. And I love doing that, and that's my passion. And I just enjoy the opportunity to get a chance to speak to churches.
Awesome. Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain. You'll be hearing a lot of him through the spring and summer, because Chris is our field reporter, the exclusive field reporter for Upstate Outdoors.
He's our guy.
I never did give you a press pass, though, did I?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I'm waiting on that.
I've had it for like 2 years, but I don't even think you need it now. I think everybody knows you now.
He's so. Kind of a big deal now.
Pretty much do. They've been real good about letting me go where I want to go, and so they're real good people here at Bassmaster.
Awesome.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate the report, and we look forward to talking with you real soon.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
All righty. The Bass Chaplain reporting.
He's busy right now.
Oh, yeah, it's bass fishing season. It will be. It will be. It's on from now till probably deer season. So speaking of being on, we got some calendar of events we need to get to after the break, and then we'll wrap up today's show with our parting shot.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All righty, well, we got one segment left before I got to run back up the road, and Boat Girl's going to tell you about our calendar of events.
In case you didn't know, February 8th and 9th, it's Crappy Madness at Cabela's in Greenville, sponsored by Ben and Pulse. Crappy fishing seminars are presented by the host, our one and only, Philip Gentry, today, here in a minute, 2 p.m., tomorrow at 2 p.m., so you can register to win fishing prizes and learn all about how to catch America's favorite game fish. This is right down the street, Cabela's on Woodruff Road.
Tip it with live bait.
That's what he says. Also, Mountain Bridge Chapter of Trout Unlimited invites you to attend their monthly chapter meetings at the Malden Cultural Center. This is at 101 East Butler Road in Malden, South Carolina. Meetings are held on the third Monday of the month and begin at 6:30 p.m. Feature seminars and presentations by guests on topics of interest to the fly fishing community. Like snacks are provided. So all y'all fly guys, this is where you need to be. In addition,
about fly girls?
Or girls. Fly guys. He's dancing in his chair. The wheels fall off at the very last of the show every week. Okay. In addition, Brian Karcher is the new MBTU Saturday Outing co-chair. Brian will plan an outing every other Saturday, so be sure to sign up for his alerts. To sign up, send an email to Ed Wantonaby, and he will add you to the outing alert list. This is in case you want to go up on a group outing to fish for trout up in the mountains, rivers, streams. His email, I'm going to spell it so y'all all get it right, is E Wantonaby, EWATANABE, at sbcglobal.net. Also, Sunday, February 16th at 9 a.m. will be the next chance to shoot the mile range at the Clinton House in Clinton, South Carolina. Instruction will be provided by certified shooting instructors. Shooters must bring their own gun and ammo. Cost is $50 for members and $75 for non-members. For more information, call the Clinton House, 864-833-0274. Also, February 29th, Lake Hartwell Cat Chasers has their first annual Winter Blues Tournament on Kiwi. $50 entry fee, $10 big fish. They're going at a High Falls ramp in Seneca. Registration is 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. Prior to the tournament. So it's that morning, it's registration at the ramp. Lines in at 7 a.m., lines out at 4 p.m., and weigh-in is at 5 p.m. This is a live release three-fish tournament. For more info, go to Lake Hartwell Cat Chasers Facebook page. If y'all have an event, have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can contact us by email at upstateoutdoors@1063word.com. We'll put it on the radio and tell everybody.
That's right. Boat Girl will talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, this may or may not be long, so let's jump into today's parting shot. All right. Well, so I'm having trouble figuring out when this event actually occurred, because this is an article that is on wideopenspaces.com about a three-year-old boy who says he hung out with a bear while he was stranded in the woods.
That's when I first saw the bear.
For 2 days.
Okay.
So, I don't know, because
it's hard to tell sometimes with Wide Open Spaces if it was last month or last year.
I think I heard about this last month. But anyway, it's a good story, so I'm going to read it anyway. Casey Hathaway was found after having been missing for 2 days and told rescuers that a bear kept him safe. Now, the three-year-old boy from North Carolina is reportedly back home in good condition, healthy, smiling, and talking after spending 2 days in frigid temperatures. Casey Hathaway told his family and rescuers that he, quote, hung out with a bear after disappearing from his grandmother's yard in Ernol, North Carolina. Look that up. Where's that? A two-day search effort ended when Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes said crews followed up on a tip. Casey was found tangled in vines and thorn bushes, and he was cold and wet, but otherwise he had no reported major injuries. And I got a video here if you go to wideopenspaces.com where they're interviewing Sheriff Hughes. It's got a ton of views. I don't know if it's Wide Open Spaces has been out for 11 hours. But anyway, the sheriff said he did say that he had a friend in the woods that was a bear that was with him. And Sheriff Hughes, apparently there was some mix-up because he says in the video that it was with him for 2 years. He meant actually 2 days, because Casey's aunt, Brianna Hathaway, wrote on her Facebook post that he said he hung out with a bear for 2 days. That's according to BuzzFeed News. God sent him a friend to keep him safe. God is a good God, and miracles do happen. Now, black bears are the only species found in North Carolina. In the most recent numbers from the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission state, there are about 17,000 bears in the state.
17,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
And did we figure out where Ernol is? Where's Craven County? Just look up Craven County.
It's Craven County.
Isn't that somewhere? It's out closer to eastern North Carolina.
I think so.
Out from Raleigh?
I'm trying to look. I was trying to
look. I don't think it's in the mountains. Anyway, attacks on humans are very uncommon with the black bears that inhabit North Carolina. But whether or not a bear would have actually looked after a small human is up for debate.
I mean, I guess it's possible.
Of course, it ruins the story if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Although the sheriff's office seemed reluctant to make much of the bear part of the story, it's easily the most intriguing aspect of a situation that captured the attention of many throughout the two-day search for little Casey. Now, as expected, an outpouring of support and a ton of teddy bears are being sent to the Hathaway family. So all's well that ends well.
I mean, you never know. He could be like a bear biologist when he grows up just because of the bear.
Or he could run a moonshine still. Because when they found him, the first thing he said was, and that's when I first saw the bear.
Well, I'm just glad he didn't get hurt.
But you messed up my joke.
I know. Yeah. I beat you to it. Whenever we talk about bears, I just think about Billy the Bear, Kelly the Bear, Riley the Bear, Smelly the Bear, Pokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, yeah. All the bears.
those of you who are not Jimmy Buffett parody y'all would never are like, get that. What in the world
are they
talking about?
And those two of y'all
about?
That are out there that know that, yeah. I'm sure it was hilarious.
Yeah. With his island-sized paw.
Yeah.
So, well, that was been a great show, and I got to get the car. I got to go out there and get the truck
go,
started.
Go, go, because you're going to be late.
But before I leave, I want to give a big round of applause and thanks to State Senator Tom Corbin for being on the show with us. And all of his insight. And also, as usual, our buddy Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. And you folks just, we really appreciate you listening to Upstate Outdoors and hanging with us and every week. And it's a blessing to have you as part of our listenership.
It really is. Yeah. How fun we have today.
Awesome. So we will see you next week. Take care. God bless. And I'm out of here.
See y'all next week right here, 106.3 WORD.